Well, welcome to Cornerstone Church's online podcast. This is Pastor Barry. Hope and pray that you will be ministered to as you listen to today's sermon.
We've lit the candle of hope and of peace and of joy. Next week it'll be love. Then we get to Christmas Eve and we light the Christ candle because Jesus has all of those things for us: hope, peace, joy, love. They're all found in him, and he has that for each one of us. He has authentic hope. He has authentic peace. He has authentic and real joy. John talked a bit about that. He has authentic love. The enemy has counterfeits and wants to give us a false sense of hope and a false sense of joy and temporal love and temporal peace. But even when we're going through it, we are a people of hope. And even when we're in the valley of the shadow of death, we can trust in this, that a new day will dawn, that this is not the end, that life is temporary. Even though that we have sorrows, we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We have real sorrows, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. We always have hope. We always have hope. We sing a song, Firm Foundation. One of the lines in it is that I have a peace that makes no sense. When I'm going through it, it's tied to the scripture that says there is a peace that surpasses understanding. I can have peace when everything should tell me that everything tells me I shouldn't have peace, but I can have it because of what Jesus does in my life. I can have joy that makes no sense. In all that I'm facing, there can still be a joy in my life. We can have hope right now. We can have peace right now. And loved ones, no matter what we're facing, we can have joy right now. Right now, right here. Today, of all the people on the planet, we have the best reason to have hope. We have the best reason to have peace. We have the best reason to have joy and love, because unto us is born, unto us is given a son, and the government will be upon his shoulders. Loved ones, a child is born, a son is given. There is good news of glad tidings to all people, for there is born to you in the city of David this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. There's glad tidings of great joy because of Jesus. And that was your cue to say amen. Amen. Today we're going to talk about joy. Years ago there was a Chief Justice in the Supreme Court in the United States. His name was Oliver Wendell Holmes. The reason why I tell you about him is because after about 30 years of sitting on the bench, he was interviewed about his profession choice, how come he became what he became into the legal profession. Because his dad was a preacher. And he said, I might have considered going into the ministry if I hadn't met so many clergymen who looked like undertakers. He said this: they were down in the mouth and they had no sense of humor. And I think somehow the joy that we have needs to show. I used to sing a song in Sunday school. I've got... It's really hard, isn't it? Once it starts, it's just... Where? The trouble is sometimes people have that joy so far down in our hearts, our face doesn't know it. Or our attitudes, or our actions. And somewhere we've got to get happy. There are lots of verses that talk about joy in the Bible. I went over this message this morning, early in the morning, and when I read that line, somewhere, somehow, you got to get happy, I was reminded, you ever see the old show called The Partridge Family? David Cassidy used to sing, Come On World, there's a song that we're singing, Come On, Get Happy. And I just thought, it's not the Partridge Family that determines where my joy is. Psalm 144 says this: happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord. I think we've got the scriptures up there, dude. It's okay. Psalm 102 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Don't just serve the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Psalm 16 says, you will show me the path of life. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand, there's pleasures forever, forevermore. Philippians 4:4 will say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Does anybody know what the word rejoice means there? It's an action. Any takers? Great. Wrong. But solid. That was good. Somebody said something, right? There you go. It actually means to leap. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. There's something that happens. Jumping for joy. John 15:11 says, these things I've spoken to you, Jesus speaking, these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. And something's not full until it overflows. My joy. It's like when he said, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. But he said, my joy is going to be in you and your joy is going to be overflowing. Your joy is going to be full. One of the evidences of God's Spirit at work in our lives, love, joy, peace, the presence of God. It's a fruit of his Spirit. Certainly one of the greatest themes of Christmas is joy. In Luke 1:44, Elizabeth talking to Mary, she said, when I heard your voice, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe John the Baptist leaped for joy. In Matthew 2:10, the wise men, it says, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. They rejoiced with joy. And best of all, the news to the shepherds. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. Great joy, not just to some people, but great joy to all people. All of us, everybody here, right in this room right now, everybody in your world, there can be great joy to all people. Those watching online, great joy. I don't know which camera to look at. You and you and you. Joy, not just a little, but great joy. Significant joy. Jesus gives us joy. God giving Jesus brings us joy. Loved ones, God's intent is for you to have joy. The devil's intent is to rob you the moment you receive it. To rob you the moment you receive it. We rejoice. The baby Jesus is born. And what did the devil do? What did the enemy do? Kill the babies. Kill the babies. And Bethlehem and the surrounding districts were weeping. Rachel refusing to be comforted. Because the enemy's plan has always been to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Three truths. Number one, God wants to give you joy. Number two, the devil wants to steal it. And number three, you have a choice. We have a choice. This Christmas season, we are discovering a whole lot of things that aren't joyful. And being disappointed is far too little a word of what some people are going through, what some people are facing. And sorrows touch us all differently. Somebody who loses their job can be horrific and horrible. Another person who loses their job, I didn't like that job anyway. For some people this Christmas, our family's not going to be together. And the sorrow and sadness of that. For others, our family's not going to be together. Okay. But joy in our lives doesn't mean we don't go through hard things. And somehow we have to live in denial, but it is not a denial of our faith to acknowledge difficulty. Sometimes we have to endure to get to joy. Sometimes we have to endure to get to joy. Jesus talked about a woman who's in labor. He said this in John 16. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been brought into the world. The actual labor is not joyful, but the result is enduring to get to joy. And our greatest picture of that would be Jesus. As we look to Hebrews where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy that was before him endured the cross. Sometimes you need to endure to get to joy. But joy's on the horizon. We are a people of joy. And God has a gift for you. See, I know that there will be a day. There will be a day when there will be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more sadness. God's going to wipe all our tears away. And when it talks about him being righteous, it means righteousness. It has to do with in right standing. When it declares we're in righteous, that we're righteous, we're in right standing with God. And there is a day when Jesus is going to make everything right. And I don't know how he's going to do that, but he will make everything right. There will be a day when he wipes away our tears, where there's no more sickness, there's no more dying, there's no more abuse, there's no more anything that sin has touched. And we are looking forward to that marvelous and glorious day. And what a day of rejoicing that will be when we all get to heaven. Wow, what a day of rejoicing that'll be. When we all see Jesus, we're going to sing and shout the victory. But I don't want to wait until that day to experience joy. And I don't want you to wait until that day to experience joy. And God doesn't want you to wait. He's got a gift for you. They say that when Walt Disney was designing Disneyland, not Disney World, Disneyland, when he was designing it, he had the team working hard so that once you enter Disneyland, and there's a sign that says the happiest place on earth, once you enter Disneyland, you can't see the rest of Anaheim from anywhere. Even the top of the roller coaster, if it's got really high, you're inside. You can't see the outside world. He said, I want it to be a place where it's just sheltered from the outside world, where you come and you enter a whole nother land. And in Disneyland, there were places, Tomorrowland and Adventureland and Frontier. There's all these lands, but you're outside of it. You can't even see it. It's billed as the happiest place on earth. But, you know, years ago, Audrey and I were there. And we witnessed meltdowns of children. I mean, they were not happy. I've seen kids laying on the ground and crying and screaming and whatever. And the parents who had paid oodles of money and planned and prepared and worked so hard to get there with no compassion in their heart, it appeared. We brought you here. We spent all this money. You need to have a good time. You're going to have fun. Like, it wasn't just the kids melting down. It was the parents. Everybody was coming unglued. And so we felt we knew exactly what to do in those moments. So, you know, we're walk away. But there's such pressure. Look at all that we did to get you here. You're going to have a good time. And I don't want you to feel like, look at all that Jesus has done for you. You're going to have joy. I don't care how hard it is. Look at what he... That's not it at all. That just makes us feel worse. Now we feel guilty. It's not a demand that you have joy. It's a gift that he has for you. He has a grace of joy. He has a gift for you. In the midst of the mountains and the highest mountains and the lowest valleys, loved ones, he has joy for you. It's a little bit like being thankful. There's a time when we need to think, I am going to choose to be thankful. I am going to choose to rejoice. And I wonder if one of the keys that might help us might be kind of like when I lose my wallet or I lose my keys. And when I lose my joy. I know I had it a while ago. And I wonder if a little searching is in order. Maybe retracing our steps. Where did we have it last? Or maybe it's easier than that. Maybe rather than looking through our coat pockets or looking in our car or looking in the laundry machine behind the couch, maybe it isn't looking to the last place we thought we had it and remembering it. Maybe it's looking to where we know it is, where we know it can be found, that we don't need somehow a Find My Joy app on our phone. I've discovered a strength that maybe you've known for years, but for me, it's been more recent after decades of living on the planet and losing my keys and losing my wallet. And I'll admit, blaming Audrey. I gave you them. No, you didn't. I gave you them. Do you want me to help you find? Yeah. Now, when I come into our house, by our back door, there's hooks with a little shelf. And I put my keys on that hook, and I put my wallet in the shelf. So if you ever need to rob, take my car or my wallet, just come to our house. At the back door, there's my keys and my wallet right there. So I don't have to play the game again, over and over again. Where's the last? It's always in the same place, and that's where I go. And I would love to tell you that I've never had to look for my keys again. This morning, I am leaving, and I can't find my church keys. Anyway, I looked everywhere. Got Audrey's keys. She's got a key to the building. And so I got here, hanging in my office door, my church keys. And it was really a point of humility, because last night Pastor Kathleen was here and looking for her keys, and I thought, yeah, I got a system. I got a system, and it was like, oh, you gotta be kidding me. And just like I have a place for my keys and my wallet, which most often are there, I do have a place for my joy. Doesn't mean I'm always joyful. I haven't got it nailed. You're going to think Audrey and I are struggling. We're not. But on Thursday night, I don't know what I said. I really don't. I don't remember what I said. And I was just right about to go out to our church council meeting. And she said, and she didn't say it harshly, but it was clear. She said, "Are you going to be short with your council too?" No, I'm not. But it was this moment when I say, I don't got this all figured out about the joy, but I know where to find it. And lots of people look in lots of places for joy. All kinds of places they're looking for joy, for some enjoyable thing, whatever. But the source of joy is this, the fullness of joy is this, it's in God's presence. It's in God's presence. And it's probably why the enemy of our soul wants to keep us from God's presence. If he can keep you from meeting with God, he can keep you from joy. If he can keep you from God's presence, he can keep you from joy. If he can keep you distant from God, he can keep you from joy. Because Scripture says, and we read it already in Psalm 16, in his presence, there's fullness of joy. No matter what we're facing, we just need to get to his presence and awareness of his presence, be with him. Remember, having joy is not a denial of sorrow or struggle, of difficulty, disappointment, but is a declaration. It's a declaration of hope that our joy is not anchored in temporary things, but that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And that all the sorrow and struggle and even death is not going to have the final say. There are so many things that touch us or touch the people we care about in this life that are tragically sorrowful, deeply unjust, and undeniably sad. But hold on, weeping may last for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Weeping may last for the night, but a new day is going to dawn. That he turns our mourning into dancing. Psalm 30 says this, verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Verse 11 says, you have turned for me. Listen to the beauty of that. You have turned for me. For me. God says this to you today. For you. He said, you have turned for me. He did this for you. My mourning into dancing. You've put off my sackcloth, that symbol of sorrow, and clothed me with gladness. Wrapped you in gladness. Joy to all people, glad tidings to all people, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. In Luke 2, verse 10, when it says that there is great joy to all people, the word great joy, great, great, the word in the Greek is spelled this way, M-E-G-A with an S, plural, megas. Big joy, great joy. 150 times in the New Testament, that word, it is translated great. Another 33 times it's translated. So 150 times, great. And then 33 times it says, could you hear that? What I said? 150 times great, 33 times it's translated loud. Loud. Loud joy. It's the same word that shows up when Jesus cried out on the cross in a loud voice. Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? When Jesus cried out in a loud, it's a mega voice. It's that loudness. When the Philippian jailer was going to kill himself, Paul cried out in a loud voice, do yourself no harm. When John in the book of Revelation hears over and over and over again, and I heard a loud voice speaking. It's the same word. And so when it says there was great joy, it means that mega joy, but it also means joy is loud. Not obnoxious, but loud. It shows up. And God has a gift of joy. And when we accept Christ into our lives, there is a joy that is deposited. Sometimes for some people, it's immediate. There is a guilt that is lifted. There is a weight that is lifted. And there is a joy that comes into your life. And it bubbles. There it is. For others, it's more incremental. As your relationship with Jesus grows, your joy grows. But some people believe, before they meet Jesus, that if I surrender, like John said, if I dedicate my life to him and say yes to him, you know what's going to happen? There goes the fun. There goes the joy. I'm not going to get to do all the things that whatever I want. Well, it is true. You don't get to do whatever you want. But you are free to make the right choices. God doesn't want to take your joy away. He wants to give you real joy. We didn't sing this morning, joy to the world, Amazon Prime has arrived. Or joy to the world, the new iPhone has been released. Loved ones, if I can say this just so strongly and clearly, if you derive your joy from temporal things, your joy will be temporal. Like just, it's think it through. If your joy comes from temporal things, your joy will be temporal. This great joy, this magnificent joy, this abundant joy that he has for us. It might cause laughter, it might cause tears, happiness, emotions. I don't know. But it's more than emotion and more than a feeling. John told us that. I think it's a condition. I think it's a condition. And somehow I think that my life needs to show that I have the condition. I think about Jackson. I think he's got a condition. Have you heard? It's serious. Where is it? Well, it's down in his heart. It's down in his. He's got the joy. He's look at him. He's got the. He's got the joy. Wear it down in his heart. Wear it down in his heart. And you know what? It's there to stay. And he's so happy. So very happy. I just want the joy to show up. My face and my actions. It's not a denial of the struggle, but it's a declaration. We know in whom we have believed. And no matter how bad this life gets, this is not the end. We have a hope. We have a Savior. He gives us hope. When Christ, who is our hope, appears, he is our very hope. He's our hope. He's our peace. He is the Prince of Peace. And he gives us joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Three things in closing. We're going to pray. Number one, good news of great joy, a mega joy that's big and loud in our lives. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. There's great joy to all people. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Now, loved ones, it's not good news by just telling it. It's when you receive it. It's when you receive it. And that's when the joy happens. Great joy to all people. You hear the news. You need a Savior. There is a Savior. And you receive him. That's when the joy happens. Great joy to all people. Secondly, let there be joy in your life that shows. Somehow, some way, let it show. Wake up with a song in your heart and a spring in your step. Let the joy show. Let people see that it's there. And then thirdly, let there be joy in our city. Let it overflow so much that every place in Calgary is touched with the joy of the Lord. There is a Savior who is Christ the Lord, Calgary for Christ. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for the glad tidings of great joy. There is a Savior. You are the Savior. You are Christ the Lord. And Jesus, I pray now that you would restore joy for those who have misplaced it, for where it has seemed to evaporate because of life struggles. David cried, "Restore the joy of our salvation." God, would you do that? Wherever joy, if it's been misplaced, if it's been just so distant, if we can't look back and even find a time when there was joy, God, would you restore the joy specifically of our salvation? That would just overpower everything, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that causes such deep, resounding, loud joy in us. God, for those who are struggling right now, I pray for a gift of joy, that you would fill them up. Your word says if we would abide in your love, that your word would remain in us, and that your joy could remain in us, that our joy might be full. And so, Lord, I pray for a gift and a grace of joy, even that makes no sense. And I pray, oh God, that you would fill us to overflowing as we take the good news to people everywhere we see. May there be great joy in our city. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for today's edition of Cornerstone Church's online podcast. May God continue to richly bless you and lead you as we follow Jesus together.